Thank you very much, Lorraine, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today at the first half 2010 results conference. Joining us today in this event, we have Jorge Gallardo, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, Eduardo Sanchez, Chief Financial Officer, Luciano Conde, Chief Operating Officer, and Per-Olof Andersson, Chief Scientific Officer. I now hand over to Jorge Gallardo for the opening remarks. At the end of the addressments, we will open a Q&A session. Thanks.
Thank you, Jordi. Good morning, everyone. We have achieved our financial targets in the first half of the year in a very challenging environment due to the government cost containment measures in Spain, which moved us to realign our yearly financial guidance. As you probably know, these cost containment measures were announced in two royal decrees, one in March and the other in the 24th of May. Our sales and normalized net income are on track to achieve our new financial outlook for 2010. Both EBIT and EBITDA have eroded as expected, 6.4% and 5.8% respectively, in line with gross margin in the context of cost-based optimization and higher R&D expenses. Lower trends in our base business are and will be mitigated from three different directions. One is company-wide cost containment measures and operational efficiency gains. Two, performance of newer products. And three, potential new license and or acquisitions. In line with this, we keep a solid balance position with improved cash flow generation, which provides financial flexibility to strengthen our core business. Let me share with you the year's highlights up to date. From an R&D and regulatory perspective, we had excellent news with the first Phase 3 BID study with Eclira, and with the approval of Silodosin in Europe and Sativex in the UK and Spain. In May, solid data of Eclira, LAS-10977, which is the once-a-day LABA, in January, was presented at the ATS, which reflects the potential of our respiratory franchise. As commented, the recent healthcare reforms in Spain have eroded our results and financial perspectives for 2010. But we have recently added two new important products to our portfolio, Toctino for chronic hand eczema in June, it came in June, and Conbrisa, the bacidoxifen for osteoporosis, that came in July. We are very pleased with these agreements and the opportunities they create. Also, Almirall has established in Copenhagen a new affiliate to cover the whole Nordic region, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, and Iceland. This represents an expansion of our European footprint, an excellent opportunity to maximize the current portfolio and pipeline. Very recently, also in July, Almirall had reached an agreement with MEDA to recover rights on a respiratory combination project. We have taken this step to improve our position in the respiratory space. And let me now turn to the perspectives for the rest of the year. We keep our strategy oriented to internationalization, maintaining a leadership position in Spain, and innovation, focused in setting the basis for long-term growth. In September, we'll present new posters of Eclira and LAS-10977 at the ERS Congress, including new posters not presented at ATS. Year to date, Almirall is making good progress in nourishing the base business, and we expect to launch four products in the second half of the year: Sativex, Silodix, Toctino, and Combrisa. Also, very good results of the new launches from last year, particularly Tesavel and Efficit, that corresponds to sitagliptin, corresponds to Januvia, the MSD product for diabetes. Our potentially transformational pipeline is progressing as expected and will deliver significant phase 3 catalysis in the second half of this year. This will include the completion of Eclira's phase 3 monotherapy and phase 2B combination, Eclidium bromide plus formoterol, as well as the completion of linaglutide phase 3 in the U.S. We also expect to continue bringing new corporate development opportunities to strengthen our core business by means of new licenses and or acquisitions. And also, let me confirm that we maintain the guidance given last month. Let me now hand over to Eduardo for the financial remarks. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jorge, and good morning to everyone. I'm going to make a few comments on key elements of the financial statements. Let's start with the income statement that, as Jorge has indicated, has been affected in the first part of the year by the what we describe as a very challenging environment. Sales are down 4% in line with the guidance that we provided last month, primarily driven by lower sales in Spain from our partners abroad. Luciano will further provide some insights later on. Gross profit has eroded 2 percentage points versus last year as a result primarily of product mix and some one-offs. On the operating expense line, we are confirming the trend seen in Q1, which should also continue during the rest of the year. R&D is substantially up as the company moves forward with a significant late-stage pipeline that will deliver important phase 3 catalysts in the second part of 2010, particularly related to linaclotide and Eclira, and Perloff also will comment on that later. Our selling, general, and administrative expense for the period has been 181.4 million, reflecting a material reduction of 9.6%, driven by cost discipline and savings, and now represent 38% on sales versus 41% for the first half of 2009. So again, substantial efforts have been dedicated to this particular line. Both EBIT and EBITDA have eroded 6.4% and 5.8% respectively, very much in line with the sort of gross margin trend and in the context again of significant cost and OPEX containment with the exception of R&D. Net income and normalized net income have totaled 86.9, which is a decrease of 16%, and 87.4%, or a decrease of minus 1.9% respectively versus last year. The first one has been largely driven by the divestment of 13 products in Spain in the first half of 2009, which obviously brought us some extraordinary income, which again, being of extraordinary nature, has not been repeated itself during the first part of this year. Moving on to the next slide, I think it's an important one in terms, again, of giving adequate importance to all the efforts that have been done to control the SG&A evolution. So I think that, as you can see here, since we went public, and especially since 2008, Almirall has undertaken relevant cost containment efforts based on savings generation and the achievement of operational efficiencies. And as you can see, we have been basically decreasing as percentage on sales this line from 46.3% in 2008 to 38.7% in the first half of 2010. Now, the next slide gives some understanding of the quarterly evolution. So basically, this shows the Q2 versus Q2 performance of last year. As you can see, there are higher variations than in previous periods. On the sales side, this has been driven by, again, some of the pattern of sales erosion in Spain, but also significantly by what can be described as a very strong Q2 last year. With regard to the cost lines, these trends are likely to persist through the second half of the year, except gross margin, which should improve in the second part of the year. R&D and SG&A expenses are expected to reach a similar trend in the second half of the year. Actually, the growth in R&D will be lower than the significant growth that we have seen in Q2, while the trend will continue in SG&A. Again, I think that in Q2 we have seen, particularly when it comes to gross margin, the impact, as I said, of some one-offs. This is a trend also that we have seen in terms of the evolution of gross margin from the first quarter into the second quarter. And again, I think that once we remove the impact of those one-offs, that the gross margin on sales should be better in the second part of the year. Moving on to the balance sheet. Not much really can be said in here. I think all the changes that you see are totally normal. We see, as we have seen over the years, a seasonal increase in account receivables and inventories, not too big this year. Important to mention again our low net debt that as of June 30th remains at about 22 million euros, or basically 0.09 times EBITDA of 2009. So this implies a significant financial room in our balance sheet to accommodate the potential new corporate development projects. Again, also in the next slide, we see the evolution and the progressive reduction of the net debt as a multiple of EBITDA. We see basically, again, more detail in what I just described. As we have also announced, the payment to MEDA actually will be booked in Q3 since the payment took place on July 23rd and therefore is still not reflected in the H1 first half results of 2009. Moving on to the cash flow generation, again, this continues to be very strong with positive free cash flow of 81.4 million. In fact, it's 8.7% higher than in 2009 at this stage in the yearly evolution, despite lower cash flow from operating activities. This effect was already reflected in Q1, where the other adjustments has a lowering trend due to the to different events. But as you can see, we have changed the trend in terms of the deterioration of working capital in the first part of the year. So it has a better trend than we had in the first half of last year. On the other hand, we have a negative effect in reflected in other adjustments, which is very much driven by the calendar of corporate tax payments. Cash flow from investing activities reached 7.1 million versus 29.3 million in the first part of 2009, and this is primarily driven by Sativexol and Naclotide payments in 2009, which were of significant nature, while this year we have a lower amount related to the payment to on Toctino. So overall, as I said, healthy evolution during the year, and very few items having a significant impact on the cash flow, and still, as I said, a very positive free cash flow evolution with an increase versus the same period of last year. And actually, that's also what is reflected in the next page. So we see, again, the positive evolution in the cash flow. So with that, I'm going to hand over to Luciano, and thanks for your attention.
Thank you, Eduardo, and good morning to all participants. I will now walk you through the highlights of operations in the first half of 2010. The sales evolution in the first semester is the result of the impact of healthcare reforms across Europe, and particularly the impact of the generic erosion of Prevencor atorvastatin in Spain and the impact of the healthcare austerity measures. The forcing effect of those impacts led us last June to restate our guidance for the year, and I'm pleased to reiterate that despite all the difficulties and unexpected measures, we maintain our yearly guidance of sales decline on mid-single digit. Our international affiliates continue to generate sales growth, but could not offset the erosion of the sales in Spain. As we mentioned in past teleconferences, we made a decision to eliminate the toll manufacturing business as the existing agreements gradually expire. This is a non-core business with dilutive margin contribution. The reduction of the corporate sales shows the effects of this decision. The picture of territorial split shows similar takeaways. During the first half of the year, Spanish sales pulled back to 263 million, which is a minus 4.4, mainly driven by healthcare reforms and Prevencor generic erosion. I would like to highlight that ex atorvastatin, the underlying Spanish growth is in sales is 2.5%, almost 1 point above the market. It is important to remark that finally, following administrative actions from our side, Prevencor price decrease for 2010 will be included in the previous legislative frame and not in the new one. So I can confirm that the reference price adjustments in August will lower Prevencor's price by 30%. This decline is lower than the anticipated 50% of the new legislative frame, and we expect that there will be no new reference pricing reviews until August 2011. International sales were driven by the steady performance of our affiliates, especially by Poland, with an Estelar plus 47%, Mexico plus 2.5%, and UK plus 8.3%. More modest growth was achieved in France and Germany. On the flip side, sales from partners and exports were minus 10.7%, driven by lower Avastin sales in Japan. Last year, the sales of Avastin to our Japanese partner were concentrated in the first half of the year, whereas this year they will be distributed more evenly. Our ex-Spain sales account today to 44% of the total sales of the company. From a therapeutical area perspective, we continue to focus in our core therapeutic areas. The sales growth in gastrointestinal, CNS, and dermatology contribute to first half performance, whereas cardiovascular driven by Prevencor decline and respiratory driven by Avastin lost some momentum. When we take a look at the top product performance, we can see that the outstanding evolution of recently launched Tesavel Efficib and the strong market performance of key brands like Esertia, Almogran, and Parapress. This positive evolution helped to partially offset the generic erosion of Atorvastatin and the lower sales of Avastin in Japan. Despite the lack of IP protection, some old products like Almax and Sidin are showing a remarkable resilience. But by the other hand, we see the erosion of Airtal, Opiren, Dobupal, and Pantopan driven by generic cannibalization and mandatory price cuts. 2010 sees the start of the regeneration of our base business, which is being nourished with the sales gains brought by recently marketed products like Efficit, Tesavel, and Astucor, and the revenue that will start to come from the four new launches expected before the end of the year, Silodix, Sativex, Toctino, and Combriza. Let me now turn to the new international launches we expect for later this year. We are very pleased with the approval of in the UK and Spain of Sativex, which is used in the treatment of spasticity in multiple sclerosis. This first-in-class endocannabinoid system modulator will be a big help for patients and will contribute to reinforce our international presence in Europe. Following the regulatory approval in the UK, submission for approvals have started in additional European countries under the mutual recognition procedure. In those countries, we, as Almirall, hold the distribution rights for the product. Also, we recently announced an international exclusive distribution agreement to commercialize Basilea's Toctino in multiple European territories and Mexico. The product, a once-daily oral treatment for adults with severe chronic hand eczema and responsive to potent topical corticosteroids, has been already approved in most of all the countries under the scope of the agreement, and it has been granted pricing and reimbursement in some of them, where launch preparations are, as we speak, being initiated. A sequential rollout of European countries' launches is foreseen during the second half of 2010 and during 2011. But we have also managed to achieve important agreements in Spain. We expect the launch during 2010 of two relevant products. Silodix, Silodosin, a licensed product from Recordati for use in the treatment of benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is approved and was pending pricing and reimbursement resolution by the Spanish agency. I must confirm that we got yesterday the approval and that we anticipate that the launch will be now by the end of September. Also, we recently signed a co-promotion agreement with Pfizer to commercialize Combriza, pathedoxifen, in Spain. Co-promotion activities will start in September 2010. This product is a new therapeutic option for the treatment of osteoporosis and enhances our product portfolio in the musculoskeletal area. In line with our strategic priorities, we continue to enhance our pan-European presence. We have established a new affiliate in Copenhagen to cover five Nordic countries. Almirall Nordic will start managing a diverse portfolio of products which were up to now distributed by local partners. The opening of this new affiliate enhances Almirall internationalization, expanding its European presence in key markets to take advantage of our future pipeline. With this, I now hand over to Per Olof. Thank you.
Thank you, Luciano, and good morning, everyone. The first slide depicts the timeline of news flow over the next few months. Following the positive outcome earlier this year of the first Eclira BID Phase 3 study, two further and final Phase 3 studies are ongoing. I can report that in both of these studies, all patients are recruited and they are progressing according to plan, with top-line results expected late this year, early 2011. This package will form the basis for filings not only by us in the US, but also in the in the EU, but also in the US by our partner Forest. Both of those filings will take place during 2011. Also, the combination project aclidinium bromide plus formoterol is progressing well, with two final phase 2B studies. Both of these studies are fully recruited and top-line results are expected later this year. As you can see, obviously in the next few months, we will generate important development and regulatory announcement The dermatology pipeline continues on track and will reinforce the pipeline news flow during the year. With regard to our once-daily long-acting beta agonist 10977, we are preparing for the start of phase 2B later this year. This includes seeking regulatory advice both in the European Union and by the US FDA. As you heard from Luciano, Sativex has been approved for spasticity in MS by the Spanish authorities, and we are now starting the mutual recognition process. With regard to our further development pipeline, we have selected a development candidate in multiple sclerosis, LAS 189913, which is a candidate from our S1P1 program. As for the dermatology pipeline, we are progressing with another program entering clinical phase, this is LAS 41004 for psoriasis. And last on this slide, but not least, linaclotide, in-licensed from Ironwood for Europe, is progressing with both U.S. clinical trials fully recruited and results expected during the fourth quarter of this year. So as you can see, we have late-stage opportunities in areas such as respiratory, dermatology, and GI, and could deliver significant phase 3 catalysts during the second half of the year or very early 2011. Additionally, I want to just focus on a large number of presentations that we are making at the European Respiratory Society, which actually this year is being held in Barcelona in the latter part of September. Just on this slide, I want to focus on some new information about aclidinium. There are data from our first phase 3 study, the CORD COPD in the BID dosing regimen, as well as very interesting data on the improvement of exercise endurance. This, as I say, and a large number of other presentations will be made at the European Respiratory Society. With that, I'll finish and hand over to Jordi for Q&A.
Thank you very much to all. Lorraine, back to you for Q&A, please. Hello, operator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question is coming from Joe German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi there. Good morning, everyone. I've got a couple of financial ones and a couple of R&D. So if I just start with the financial. Eduardo, looking at the cost lines, I did miss a little bit, I'm afraid, what you were talking about on the gross margin. I mean, that was a little bit higher than we expected in the second quarter, and you said was going to improve in the second half of the year. Would you mind just running us through again on what will be driving that? And then in terms of SG&A, you know, you're clearly certainly looking at the half year, making some quite strong, some good improvements in your SG&A margin. The first quarter was quite a lot stronger or a lot better than the second. But you seem to be guiding quite a lot that the second quarter is what we should be using as our sort of basis going forward. Was there any phasing affecting that or anything else? Should we start with those and then I'll come back to the R&D ones in a minute?
Okay, very good. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Let me try to address both questions. I mean, first of all, when it comes to the cost side, as I said, you know, typically we have seen a pattern where the gross margin in the first quarter is stronger than in the second quarter, and this is primarily driven also by a lot of sales of Avastin, which is one of our own products, very profitable one, while, again, in second quarter we go more into the typical pattern that we see in the rest of the year. So on the one hand, we see that trend taking place in Q2 this year. Then on top of that, when compared to particularly to last year, but also to Q1 this year, we have had some special one-offs that have actually provoked that the gross margin for the first quarter has been a little bit higher than the normal trend that we should have had, while on the other hand, the second quarter of this year has been a little bit penalized. So our estimation right now that the full year gross margin as percentage on sales should be more or less in line with what we see as a gross margin percent of sales for the whole first half of this year. So again, excluding some of those corrections and one-off, that's our expectation basically for the whole year.
Okay.
When it comes to SG&A, you're right. I think that we had particularly a strong effect in the first quarter. More or less what we expect is that the trend that we have for the first half of the year will basically continue into the second half of the year. So we are aiming, again, at a significant reduction of SG&A probably in the high single digits when compared to 2009.
Okay. That's very helpful. Thank you. I'll ask a couple of R&D ones and jump back in the queue. Just in terms of linaclotide, Pao, talking a little bit about sort of the endpoints of the studies that are coming out in the fourth quarter. I think you mentioned in one of the documents today that there is going to need to be some different manipulation of the statistics in behind those endpoints for the European versus the US regulators. Can you just give us a little bit more detail on that? When we see I think the original US studies are based on sort of responder analysis on some of the standard measurements. I mean, how much difference could we expect to whatever those headline results are to be submitted to the European regulators? And also, what is the improvement that the European regulators need to see on that drug to consider it?
Okay. Let me be quite specific then, because you asked a very specific question. So there is a slight difference between the composite endpoints in the US and in Europe. The US endpoints consider improvement in abdominal pain and as a second in the number of complete spontaneous bowel movements. Both of those, if they are positive, then a patient is a responder.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, the endpoints are slightly different. As I say, rather than pain, one endpoint is improvement in pain and or discomfort.
Yeah.
And then the second endpoint is a degree of relief in IBS symptoms. So an overall degree of relief that will, of course, include the feeling emptying and completeness of emptying and so on. So those parameters need to be positive to be a responder in Europe. As I say, we have consulted both with the FDA and with European authorities and confirmed that these separate analyses based on the same database can be done for the two territories without taking any statistical penalty. Also, if you do a post-hoc analysis of the phase 2B data in IBS that we have, both of these composite endpoints for the US and and Europe should be positive.
And will we see both of those endpoints when the data is released?
Yes, you will see both of those. We will report top-line results for the U.S. endpoints and for the European endpoints together with Ironwood and Forest.
Okay, that's very helpful. I have lots more, but I'll jump back in the queue and come back later on.
Thanks, Joe.
Your next question is coming from Jo Walton from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Just a couple of questions. You've taken the rights back for the respiratory, I think we all believe is generic Advair, from Meda. Can you tell us a bit more about why you've done that and perhaps why you feel that you alone can, you know, either develop that product faster, deeper, or, you know, a little bit more about that? Secondly, you've taken Combreza on in Spain. Now, that you're doing more of these, or, you know, we haven't seen an in-license for Spain alone for a little while. Is this a less profitable arrangement doing them now than they were, say, 3 or 4 years ago? Just trying to see whether this is likely to be a major thrust going forward, so that you can use more of your marketing on these in-license products. And then finally, having taken a lot of SG&A out of the system, should we assume that with everybody cutting back on costs, that new drugs are going to develop more slowly in Spain because there is less promotion from everybody behind them? I think it's a theme in many regions that new drugs are just taking longer to develop and pay back. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your question, Joe. This is Eduardo. Let me address your first questions, and I'll let the last one to Luciano. First of all, in terms of the agreement with MEDA, I'm afraid that there is not much I can comment right now. I mean, this is a field that is very sensitive to competitive pressures. We will come later on with some more details on this, but for the time being, we are not disclosing, actually. I mean, you made an assumption about which one it might be. That's respectable, but at this point, we are not disclosing that, and we don't want to provide too many details. We think it's something that certainly strengthens the respiratory pipeline of Almirall. We are convinced that this is something good for the company, but at this point, I'm afraid that I cannot share a lot of details in terms of which combination project, at what stage of development it is, and what are the next steps. But I can rest assured that we will provide that when we feel that we can disclose more details. In terms of Combrita and the licensing in Spain, I mean, you're right. We have been we have stepped up our efforts in this direction, and we have been successful lately in achieving a number of them. I think that the conditions might be slightly worse, perhaps, than they were, I wouldn't say 3 years ago, but maybe 5 to 10 years ago. But at least, you know, they are good in providing value to the business. I think at the same time, we are compensating a potential worsening of the cost of goods with balancing the promotional effort that we put behind the products. You are right that because of the economic pressures and the overall economics evolution in the pharmaceutical industry, many companies are cutting back on promotion, and perhaps now the level of commercial expense is a bit more reasonable than it used to be. So we are trying to balance that very carefully. And the same thing can be said about the SG&A. I think that, yes, obviously many companies are also cutting back, which at least if you cut, will still make you competitive in terms of share of voice. But definitely this is an item that we are watching very carefully. We continue to pressure in there, and I think that even from the second part of this year, we contemplate some further actions along the lines of efficiency gains and management of SG&A that will make us even realize some more savings, hopefully in 2011. In terms of the new drugs uptake, I'll let maybe Luciano take that question.
Well, so far in the Spanish market, we don't see any signal that the uptake is significantly reduced versus, let's say, 2 years ago. So we have no reason to believe that this is really so far hurting us, or hurting the market in a significant way. New products are introduced and they have normal uptakes. However, obviously, you never know if the uptake is in line with what the companies were expecting or not. You know, maybe the companies were expecting more or were expecting less. So far we have not, let's say, this concern. What it is true is that the uptake is linked to your capability to manage the market access of the product, which we are particularly good and particularly efficient.
Thank you very much. Can I just ask one follow-up? You talked about the Prevencore price cut of 30%. Is there any disruption that we're likely to expect in the market in terms of, I don't know, either wholesalers not buying until new prices come through, or, you know, sending back packs for relabeling or whatever? Is all of this going to happen quite smoothly, or are we going to get some short-term disruptions to the market as the new pricing comes through?
Well, as you know, so far the erosion of atorvastatin we have had has been more driven by generic introduction to the anticipated generic introduction versus what we were planning. So
Now, taking taking advantage of this generic introduction and some the creation of the homogeneous group, what we did is that we obviously apply for the rules of the former groups when the revision of the prices was established, and therefore, following that rationale, the price cap should only be 30% as opposed to 50%. So we think that the behavior of the market and so will continue to be as we have anticipated with other price cuts. So we don't see reasons why this should be any different than what we anticipated.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Your next question is coming from Peter Welford from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. Two on the Spanish business and then one on Eclira, Aclidinium. Two, first of all, on the Spanish business. When did you actually start experiencing the 7.5% reduction in your brand prices for your Spanish drugs? So which month did those actually take effect? And are you seeing any pressure on any of your other branded drugs or franchises due to the generic price cuts we've seen for competing products in classes that are largely generic at the current moment in time in Spain? And then secondly, on Aclidinium, on clinicaltrials.gov, a number of the trials are reported to report out in July 2011 at the earliest. So I'm just wondering which potential trial we could get, do you think, by the end of 2010? Thank you.
Well, regarding the 7.5%, the first month that has been applied is June. So it's the first month that we have had the effect of this measure. Regarding the pressure from generic price cuts, I would say it's difficult to say at this stage because there have been very few months with this new measure supply. However, what we see is obviously the market is slowing down versus what was the situation the previous year. This is the effect of the actually price cut that we have had and the generic erosion of some of the most important molecules, or is due to the trend, changes in trend in some of the therapeutic categories. We cannot still confirm.
Okay. So, Eclira and the top line versus final study results is what is confusing, I think, in this. So, for the two phase three studies, you will have results, top line results reported, as I said before, towards the end of this year, very early next year. One of the studies is continuing as a long-term safety study, and therefore the long-term safety data will be generated further out during 2011. So the data that we will use for filing will come from both, obviously, the efficacy part, which is the 3 or 6 months data from the two studies, as well as from cuts of the data for the long-term safety studies. They do not need to be completed fully for filing because we have a significant amount of safety data already. Does that address your question?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Your next question is coming from Jamie Clark from Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning. I have two questions, please. Firstly, on Toctino, can you give us some more detail on when exactly you expect or which countries you expect to roll the product out into in 2010 and also in 2011? And if possible, what sort of contribution would you expect from the product in 2010? And secondly, on your Spanish sales, if I look at it, your Spanish sales declined 9% in the second quarter. And if you take out Prevencor, then they're actually flat year on year. I just wonder how that could be, given that you have had the price cuts both on branded and generic products. Thanks.
Well, regarding Toctino, we have obviously some products introduction during the end of this year. And then we will roll out in the next territories, mostly during 2011. We do not disclose or give individual guidance on products and countries. But obviously, this rollout of the product is included in our expectations. You know, it's included in our guidance. Regarding the evolution of the second quarter, as you can imagine, the second quarter has been quite a complicated and turmoil situation in the Spanish market, with all the price cuts and wholesalers maybe not behaving as they would normally would have behaved. And we have factored in all these elements that you mentioned in our guidance for the end of the year. So we have, let's say, taken into consideration. We understand your concern, but we can reassure you that our guidance is well thought and is based upon, let's say, what we believe would be the trend from now to the end of the year.
So just building on that, Jamie, I think that particularly when it comes to the Spanish sales, and as Luciana was indicating, basically on a year-to-date basis, the Spanish sales are going down by 4.4%, and we do anticipate within the guidance and the calculations that we have made a significant acceleration of that decline in the second part of the year. So again, I think that has been taken into consideration.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Your next question is coming from Christian Quader from JB Capital Markets. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Just quickly, just to be sure, maybe I missed the point, but so you're saying the Provencore atorvastatin reference pricing cut, the 30% will be in August 11 and not now. And secondly, based on the court decision from the Barcelona Commercial Court, where Sergia is not being granted for the injunction against generics, will that be having? Will you see a similar effect on this drug, like in Prevencor, in terms of generics rolling in ahead of actual patent expiry? And I have a couple of questions on the R&D, which we can return to in a second.
Well the as I think I said in my introduction, the price cut for Prevencor will materialize in August 2010, and they will not. We do not expect any further reviews of the reference pricing until August 2011. So in August 2011, we are not yet 100% sure, but most likely the new legislation will apply.
Okay, so 30% this August, and then maybe 50% next quarter.
Maybe. We are not sure.
Maybe. Okay, but that's okay. The 30%.
Obviously, we will try to fight, but we will see what is the outcome.
Okay. And on the Assertia?
Well, about Assertia, as you know, in Spain, Assertia has only had 6 years of data protection. So in Spain, we are entitled to 10 years of data protection for this product. And therefore, we do not expect that it will be, let's say, reference pricing for this group until the data protection period is expired.
No, the question was whether you would expect an influx of generics, which is now being allowed, to affect the sales the same way it affected...
Well, the generics, I mean, obviously we will fight to take them out of the market if possible. We will see what can be done. But the generics will obviously erode certain degree of evolution of the product, but still the product will be protected and the price will not be touched.
Yeah, it's the end of the price issue, but just your expectations in terms of sales for this end of the year.
We will not disclose... individual guidance for products, but as you can imagine, we have factored this into our estimations and our guidance, and Assertia is and will continue to be a relevant product for the company. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. If I have a few more questions on the R&D, on Eclira, you mentioned you will be detailing some results in the ERS conference. Will there be any results given on terms of exacerbations decline in these studies?
The data that will be disclosed at ERS is the data for one of the studies. This is a 3-month study, and therefore all the exacerbations are measured. It's not a relevant endpoint for a 3-month study as a standalone. So that is not part of what you can expect in that study.
Okay, but exacerbation is obviously important for Spiriva in their marketing and in terms of convincing.
Well, exacerbations is one of the symptoms that are important for COPD patients. And if you go back and look at the data we have for the phase three studies with a once a day 200 micrograms, we had significant effects on exacerbations in one of these studies. So we believe that with this mechanism, with a relevant bronchodilatation, this will lead to effects on exacerbations. But having said that, exacerbations are not that frequent and therefore cannot necessarily be measured in a short-term single trial of 3 months duration.
Is it part of any future trials or long-term trials?
We measure rate of exacerbations in each of our trials, but it's not the primary endpoint in any of the ongoing phase 3 trials.
Okay, thank you. On the linaclotide, I understand, of course, it is. I mean, the drug is showing good results in the responders. I guess my question is really, since the actual response rate is quite low among patients, 20%, I believe, how will you try and position this drug with doctors, prescribing doctors, especially in the field where there's so many generics and low-cost treatments available?
Well, first of all, let me correct you with regard to drugs on the market. There is not in Europe a single drug indicated for IBS-C. Unfortunately, what is happening is that in that situation, patients are treated for one of the symptoms of IBS, which is constipation, with what is available to them, which is laxatives and so on.
Yeah.
With regard to the effect size, I would not characterize the effect size we have seen with linaclotide as low. It is significantly larger than has been seen with other comparative products that have been approved, like tegaserod.
Not the effect, the response rate among patients being treated.
Well, what I'm saying is exactly what it is. So if you look at the phase 2b studies in responder analysis on abdominal pain and discomfort, for instance, you have a response rate increase over placebo of more than 20%. The same is true for the IBS global relief. And I think that is a significant improvement over placebo.
Yeah, over placebo, I'm just saying, but among those that actually do respond, there are very few that actually do respond to treatment as such, no? I mean, yes, it is improvement over placebo, but among, it's just that the overall response rate is quite low.
As I say, the response rate we have, that is patients that have more than 30% improvement, is significant over placebo.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Your next question is coming from Ana Isabel González from Caja Madrid Bolsa. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, good morning. Well, most of my questions have been already answered, but regarding the poor share price performance, do you have in mind any share buyback program for the company so far?
Not in the short term. I think that short or medium term, I think that right now we have said a number of times that we want to basically save our cash, particularly to fund future growth and potential business development projects. Having said that, it's not something that we totally discard, but I think that we will need to consider that at an appropriate moment. But again, suffice to say that for the time being, we are not considering that as an option in the short term.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question is coming from Drew German from Citi. Please ask your question.
Just a couple of follow-ups, if I may. Just following on a little bit, thinking about dividends as well. You have a dividend policy which is arranged as a percentage of net income. You know, clearly, we're going to be looking at declining earnings, perhaps quite dramatically declining earnings over the next couple of years. Is that another area you're also looking in terms of how you might manage that dividend over the next couple of years? And also, I'm going to ask the impossible question, which is, are we done yet in Spanish healthcare reform? Perhaps you wouldn't mind just making a couple of comments on what you see is any potential further downside risk or upside risk from further moves in Spain. Thanks.
maybe perhaps on the first part on dividends. I mean, as a company, we want to be competitive in the way we treat our shareholders. You're right in the sense that this year, I mean, we have given the guidance for normalized net income, but obviously if we are doing and may continue to do during this year some adjustments that may provoke some extraordinary expense, particularly again when realizing some synergies and some efficiency gains in the SG&A line, that may have a toll on the net income. I think that when the moment comes, we have to make that decision. We will consult with the board of directors and make the appropriate decision, again, trying to, as I said before, treat fairly our shareholders. Relating to potential changes in Spain, I'll pass the word to Jorge.
Okay, let me share with you my opinion. I have been with the health minister three times in the last 2 weeks, and she has once and again confirmed that there is no intention whatsoever to take any additional measures concerning the pharma business, pharma market. They realize now that the measures that they have taken are very tough, and it's really damaging for many companies, especially mid-size and small Spanish companies. It's going to affect the employment. We have announced from farm industry, we have announced maybe a loss of 5,000 jobs. And also, it's going to be negative for the R&D activities. Now, so we don't expect, also let me share with you that according to the numbers, the forecast we have in farm industry about the Spanish market in 2011, altogether, the whole, it's going to be a minus 3.2 or minus 3.5%. Which gives you a signal of how companies will perform. So I think that unless something very, very, I don't know, very dramatic happens with the Spanish systems, I think the government now is doing the right things. So I think that throughout 2011, the financial crisis in Spain will be little by little will be overcome. So I'm relatively optimistic about not having to face new measures in the future.
Thanks for that. Can I just clarify when you were talking about sort of the forecast for the Spanish market of 3.2 to 3.5% down? Is that a sort of volume type of forecast, or the sort of value forecast for the market as a whole? I assume branded and generic.
Value.
The value.
Value.
Yeah, it's a value. It's a value.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Not volume.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question is coming from Ana Isabel González from Caja Madrid Bolsa. Please ask your question.
Just very quickly, one short question. Would you foresee any M&A movement here in Spain, profiting of this new environment?
Well, nothing concrete. I suppose that given the present situation, I suppose that some companies now, they have to figure out what to do in the future. So there could be some movements, but it's nothing concrete. So I really cannot say anything further about that.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced.
Okay, then, no further questions. Thank you very much to all for your participation and for your interest in Almirall, and have a good day. Bye-bye.